The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is The Berenstain Bears' Easter Parade. It was the first day of spring in Bear Country. The last patches of winter snow were melting in the warm sun. The first spring flowers were poking up their brightly colored heads. Robins sang in the green budding trees. And at the Bear family's treehouse home, the kitchen window was wide open. Papa Bear sniffed the fresh spring air as he read his newspaper at the breakfast table. "Look at this," he said, holding up the front page. "Mayor Honeypot says that Bear Country will have an old-fashioned Easter parade this year. There will be prizes for the best-dressed family. All are invited to attend in their brightest spring finery." "That sounds like fun," said Mama. "It would be nice to have a reason to dress up in something special for a change." "You said it," said Sister. "I can wear a big Easter bonnet with all kinds of fancy bows and frills and feathers." But Brother Bear wasn't quite so sure. He was very happy wearing his plain red shirt and blue pants every day. "What's the matter with our regular clothes?" he said. "Why do we have to get dressed up?" "Oh, don't be a stick in the mud," said Sister. "It's fun to do something different once in a while." "I don't think so," he said. "I like things to be the same." "But we wear that kind of clothes every day," said Sister. "Don't you get tired of that?" "Nope," said Brother. "That way I always look like me." Sister sighed and rolled her eyes. "I would like to get out my old fancy duds," said Papa. "Remember the clothes that I wore when we got married, my dear?" "I do indeed," said Mama. "You looked very handsome." "I bet they're still up in the attic," said Papa. "Let's go take a look." Papa led the way. Even Brother wanted to see what Papa looked like in his fancy old duds. The attic was full of all kinds of things the Bear family was saving. Papa opened a big, dusty trunk. "Here it is," said Papa, pulling out his old suit jacket and putting it on. Yeah, it was a little moth-eaten and much, much too tight. When Papa Bear tried to close it, a button popped off and shot across the room. "Whoa there, buddy," said Mama. "You're going to put someone's eye out." Sister poked around in the trunk and found a fancy hat. She put it on and looked at herself in a cracked mirror. "That belonged to Grizzly Gran when she was young," said Mama. "It's beautiful," said Sister, "but it's sort of falling apart. There was a little bird's nest with a yellow duckling in it, and some red flowers and some blue flowers, and a big bow made out of a blue ribbon that went all the way around the hat and came down at one side. It was gorgeous, but it was very old, so it was not actually, it needed to be put together again and freshened up." "These fancy clothes are very nice," said Mama, "but I don't think we can wear them in the Easter parade. They're just too old. We have to go out and buy brand new outfits." "Oh, no," Brother groaned. "Clothes shopping, boring." "Speak for yourself," said Sister, heading downstairs. So, in spite of Brother's moans and groans, they all got into the family car and headed to the Bear Country Mall to buy new things for the Easter parade. The mall was full of bears, shopping for spring clothes. Mama led them into a big department store. "May I help you, madam?" asked the clerk. "You certainly may," said Mama. "My whole family needs new clothes for the Easter parade." The clerk called for help, and soon Mama, Papa, Sister, and even Brother were trying on new clothes. They all looked splendid in their new Easter outfits, but Brother didn't think so. "I look silly," he muttered, looking in the mirror. "I think you look very handsome," said Sister. "Ugh," said Brother. He was wearing a striped jacket and a blue shirt with a red tie and light blue pants. As they drove home with their car full of boxes and bags, Brother was still grumpy and frowning. "Come now, brother," said Papa. "I'm sure you'll feel different on Easter Sunday, when everyone in Bear Country will be dressed in their finest for the big parade." "Huh," brother said, and Papa sighed and rolled his eyes. Easter Sunday soon arrived, and after church, and after, of course, a little Easter candy, the Bear family got ready for a parade. Brother was very unhappy about having to wear a tie. "I can't tie this thing," he growled. "Here, I'll show you how," said Papa. "Around and around, and up and through." Soon they were ready. "My," said Mama, looking them over proudly, "what a beautiful family I have." "My tie is too tight," complained Brother. Mama sighed and rolled her eyes. When they drove into Beartown for the start of the parade, it was quite a sight. Hundreds of bears, all in their Easter best, lined Main Street. Mayor and Mrs. Honeypot were up on a reviewing stand to pick out the best outfits. A brass band came marching by. Officer Marguerite directed traffic. Chief Bruno was dressed as the Easter Bunny and handed out candy. The mayor gave a signal for the starting line ribbon to be cut. Everyone streamed past the reviewing stand. The band played an old tune called Easter Parade. When the Bear family marched proudly past, Brother overheard Mrs. Honeypot saying, "Don't they all look darling?" she said, "especially that cute little Brother Bear." And Brother blushed right up through his fur. But he caught him sight of himself in a store window. "Well, I guess I do look pretty good," he said to himself. He would never tell his father and mother that, though, would he? He hated to admit it. After they all filed past, the mayor called the Bear family up to the reviewing stand. He held out a big, shining trophy. "And the prize for the best-dressed family," said the mayor, "goes to the Bear family." The whole crowd cheered and clapped. Brother stepped right up to take the prize. He was very pleased with himself. Thank you, everyone," he said, taking a bow. And the rest of the family just sighed and rolled their eyes. Everyone looked so very pretty, all dressed up for the Easter parade. Our next story comes from a book called The Osborne Book of Princess Stories, and by Stephen Cartwright and Heather Amory. So the story we're going to read today is called The Princess and the Pig. So here is Greystone Castle, and here is King Leo and Queen Rose. They have two children called Prince Max and Princess Alice. Max and Alice are playing in the garden. They have lots of old clothes for dressing up. They are pretending to be kings and queens, and their ducks are watching them, and so are two chickens, and their dog is helping dress them up by trying to pull the blanket away from one of them. He's not helping at all. "What's that?" asked Alice. "There's something in that big puddle." "It's a small pig," said Max, "and it can't get out." And Alice picks up the pig. "Poor little pig," she says. "He must have escaped from the sty, and now he's all muddy and wet." "Now you are all muddy too," said Max, and sure enough, the little princess's dress is covered with mud. "Don't let Queen Mama see you. She told you this morning not to get your dress dirty." Uh-oh. Looks like Princess Alice is going to need a complete bath and a complete change of clothes. "Well, I'll go indoors," says Alice. She carries the little pig into the castle. Alice finds an old tub and puts the pig in it. Alice gets some water from the well. Someone helps her pull the water out of that well. She goes to the well and fills two buckets with water, and then she carries them back to the castle. Ooh, she must have been strong. Alice puts the water in the tub, and she finds some soap and a brush. She washes the pig all over in the Bubbles make him sneeze. The pig is very clean now. Alice lifts him out of the tub. She dries him with a towel, and that little pig tries to run away. The queen comes in. Where did you get that pig? And why are you dirty? Said the queen. Just look at your dress. Alice holds up the pig. I found him in a puddle, she says. He's such a pretty pig, and she kisses him on his snout. There's a big flash of light. What was that? Asked Alice, and she looks at the pig. He isn't a pig now. He has turned into a prince. Can't he stay with us? Said Max. No, said the queen. We can't have a strange prince in the castle. Change him back at once. So Alice kisses the prince. And there is a flash of light. The prince has turned into a pig again. Now that's better, says the queen. I think that was a little mean, don't you? Take him back to the pigsty, she said. And don't kiss him again, says the queen. No, says Alice, I like pigs better than princesses. And that's the end of that story. Sort of a silly one, isn't it? And now we're going to have another Easter story. And it's called Fancy Nancy's Elegant Easter. Maybe some of you have read other Fancy Nancy books. There's lots of them, and they're lots of fun. So, it's almost time for the Easter gala, and that's a fancy word for a fancy party. I am all ready, but my mom is not. She has been busy hiding Easter eggs. Fancy Nancy's all dressed up in a beautiful pink dress with a great Easter hat with little chickens, Easter eggs on it, and little spring flowers, and a great the hat is really bright pink with lots of white lace on it and a beautiful blue ribbon, and she has on pink sunglasses with green lenses and yellow shoes with little pink roses on it and pretty white gloves and little bracelets. Anyways, knock, knock. Someone is at the door. I open it and say, bonjour, and that's French for hello. And guess who's standing at the door? It is my best friend, Bree, and she's in a purple, very pretty purple outfit with a lacy purple collar and lacy capris on with little pink bows on the ends and pink sandals. My mom asks us to help her finish getting everything ready. We say, yes, yes, yes. First, we find pretty plates and napkins for an elegant Easter party. Plain white will just not do. And her friend Bree has brought over a big pot of tulips for the family. It is gorgeous, pot of yellow tulips. Look, whoops. Let's see if I got that page turned right. Sometimes these pages are very thick and hard to turn. Look, said Bree, and she pulls something out of a paper bag. It's a box of Funtime party supplies. Voila! The table looks beautiful now, but are we finished? Definitely not. Oh, yes, there's all the purple plates with little chicks and ducks and eggs on them, and green and pink and blue silver. Well, they're not really silverware, but things to eat, utensils to eat with, and little Easter egg decorated paper cups with napkins inside, and there's ribbons on the chairs. There's one pink and a blue and a yellow. The table looks gorgeous. In the garden, everything is in bloom. Bree and I make a beautiful bouquet, and that is a very beautiful bunch of flowers. There's even a little rabbit running around in the garden. And my dog Frenchie helps too. Look, he is digging up flowers by the bulbs, and he really shouldn't do that because he's taking out some beautiful prings. Spring daffodils and tulips. The cabinet is full of fancy things that my mom uses for special occasions. Bree and I show Dad which vase we'd like, and he gets it down for us. He's opening one of the doors and to get out the vase. Divine, I say. You say that when something is so very gorgeous that it is very hard to top. Now they've even decorated up the dog with purple ribbon and it's at the top of his head, and a little purple ribbon at the end of his tail, and lots of necklaces, and there's on his back is a tulip bulb he pulled out of the garden that he hasn't lost yet, and of course he has muddy paws all over the clean kitchen floor. Then Dad shows us what he has bought for the party. And what is it? It is a gigantic Easter egg, all decorated with beautiful things, and I bet they're going to crack that open, and he's bought lots of beautiful, different colored balloons. Hurry, I say. The guests will be here soon. And at last, everything is just right. My parents both look so elegant, they're all dressed up. And then I think of something awful. That is worse than bad. We have no Easter bunny, I began to cry. But look, there's a little sister dressed up in a purple bunny outfit, wearing a sign around her neck saying, Happy Easter. So she pretends that she's an Easter bunny. Are you sure? His mom says. She winks at me, and something rustles behind the curtain. The Easter gala will be perfectly fancy after all. And there hops out the little sister who was hiding. And that looks like it is going to be a really fun Easter. That big egg that Dad bought is going to be cracked open, and they're going to find all sorts of Easter candy and little chocolate bunnies and little chocolate Easter eggs in it. And the dog is jumping up when no one's looking, and he's put his paws on the table to see what's for eating. And that's the end of Fancy Nancy and Easter, Elegant Easter Party. Our next story is one of those stories about Paddington Bear. So this one is Paddington Minds the House, and it's by Michael Bond. One morning, Mrs. Brown and Mrs. Bird went out for the day and left Paddington to look after the house. I shall wash up all the breakfast things while you are gone, he said, and then, if I have any time left over, I may do some spring cleaning. Oh, dear, said Mrs. Brown, I don't like the sound of that. As soon as the others had gone, Paddington set to work. He washed all the breakfast cups and saucers and plates, and put them in a rack to dry. Then he did the dusting, and after that he washed the dusters and the towels and hung them up to dry. When he had finished hanging up the dusters and towels, he started making a special chocolate cake as a surprise for Mrs. Brown and Mrs. Bird when they got back. Now, Paddington liked cooking, and he was soon busy mixing flour and cocoa and sugar and milk together in a large bowl. It wasn't until he put his paw in the mixture to make sure it tasted as it should that he saw he had made a mess with flour and cocoa on the floor and all over the table. Worse still, the flour felt crunchy under his feet, and he had also spilled some sugar, so he got the vacuum cleaner out. And that was when his troubles started. Uh-oh, what do you think is going to happen? In his haste to tidy up the kitchen, he put the hose on the wrong end of the cleaner by mistake, and instead of sucking, it blew. Paddington staggered back as all the old dust came out and rose into the air like a big black cloud all over the clean kitchen and even into his cake mix that he was mixing, and all over into the milk bottle that was open on the table and his cooking spoon and all the clean plates in the dish rack. Uh-oh, it landed everywhere, on the clean cups and saucers and plates, over the dusters and towels that were still wet that he had hung up to dry, over the table and chairs, and even landed on his cake mixture. Paddington decided it was a good thing he was making a chocolate cake, and at least it wouldn't show the dirt. Paddington is very silly, isn't he? Paddington started work all over again. He washed the breakfast things, then he washed the dusters and the towels and hung them up to dry. And because the dusters were now wet, he thought he would use the vacuum cleaner to get rid of the dust. This time he made sure the tube was on the right end. So there he is, getting all the drop flour from the table. And using the vacuum cleaner was much more fun, and Paddington spent some time trying to write his name in the dust on top of the table. Uh-oh! It wasn't until he got as far as the letter D, here he was practicing writing his name, that he noticed the mixing bowl was now empty. He had accidentally stuck that hose, the vacuum cleaner hose, into his mixing bowl while he was writing his name on the dust on the table, and he had sucked up all that cake batter into the vacuum cleaner. He stared at the end of the hose, wondering what to do next. Paddington wasn't the sort of bear to be beaten, and looking at the end of the hose pipe gave him an idea. What had happened once would happen again. He put the hose back on the wrong end of the cleaner, and then he stood back, waiting to see if the cake mix would get blown out. For a second or two, nothing came out, and he was about to poke a spoon down inside to see what would help when there was a loud rushing noise. One moment, the kitchen was as clean and shiny as a new pin. The next moment, it looked as if it had been raining chocolate. Paddington gazed unhappily around the room. It was in a worse state than before. In fact, he couldn't remember ever having seen such a mess. He gave a deep sigh, and for the third time that day, he set to work. He washed the breakfast things, and he washed the dusters and the towels and hung them up to dry. Then he scrubbed the floor and washed all the walls and polished the table and chairs until it all looked as good as new. In fact, he cleaned everything except himself. But by then it was too late, for there was a ring at the front doorbell. "Paddington," said Mrs. Brown, "whatever have you been up to? Are you all right? You're covered in spots." "Brown ones," said Mrs. Bird. Paddington looked at himself in the hall mirror and saw for the first time what a mess he was in. "I think I must have a bad attack of spring cleaning fever," said Mrs. Bird. "I think I must have had a bad attack of spring cleaning fever, Mrs. Bird," he said. Mrs. Bird hurried into the kitchen, but she had to admit she had never seen it looking quite so clean. And if she was wondering why Paddington had spots on his duffel coat as well as on his whiskers, she didn't say anything. She was so impressed. "But I think you better go upstairs and have a nice hot bath." Paddington thought that was a very good idea. He was so tired after all his hard work. Afterwards, when he was safely tucked up in bed, Mrs. Brown brought him his supper on a tray. "You're looking better already," she said. "The rest must be doing you good." "It isn't so much spring cleaning that brings you out in spots," Mrs. Brown said Paddington. "It's all the clearing up you have to do afterwards." And guess what Mrs. Brown had brought him for as dessert? A nice big chunk of chocolate cake with chocolate icing, and a glass of milk. Oh, it looks so good. Paddington's in bed, in his pajamas, with a little tray on his lap, eating his chocolate cake. This book is called I Just Want to Say Goodnight by Rachel Isadora, and it takes place in Africa, on the African veldt. Which African veldt is a great big prairie in Africa with animals and lots of greenery. On the African veldt, there is a village. As the sun sets, the parents tell their children, "It is time for bed." Lala greets her papa, who has been fishing. "Ooh, you caught a big one," she says. "Yes, it was a good day," papa says. "It is time for bed," papa tells Lala. "I just want to say good night to this fish," says Lala. Do you think she's putting off trying to get into bed? There's the kitty peeking around the corner of the little hut they live in. He has his eyes on that fish, too. "Come, Lala," Mama says. "I just want to say good night to the cat." And there Lala's outside again, saying good night to the cat. "It's getting late," Mama calls. I just want to say good night to this bird. There's a beautiful bird sitting on the leaf of a plant. And he's looking at Lala. Lala, says Mama. I just want to say good night to the goat, says Lala. Her family keeps a goat for milk. And her mama keeps calling her. It's time to go to sleep, Mama calls. And here's a monkey. I just want to say good night to this monkey, Lala says. There's a cute little monkey sitting on another tree. Come now, as Mama says. I just want to say good night to the chickens. And so Lala sits down near the chickens, holding, there's the hen and all the little baby chicks all around her, and she picks up one, and she's cuddling it and stroking his feathers. Okay. Oh, Lala, Mama says. I just want to say good night to the little ants, and there's tons of little ants coming in a long stream. She's still outside, and her doggy's sitting beside her, and they're watching the ants parade by. Have you ever done that, watch ants walking towards something? I'm just not ready to go to sleep, Lala says to her dog. Woof! And there's her mama standing at the door of the hut, waiting for Lala to come in. Now, Mama says. Yes, I'm coming. I just want to say good night to this rock. There's Lala again, trying not to get into bed. She's holding up a rock. That is really, really silly, isn't it? You do that sometimes, try not to get into bed. So finally, Lala gets into bed. Sweet dreams, Mama says. Good night, Mama, says Lala. And there she's in her little bed in her room. Looks like a couple of little chicks have followed her in, and her dog's around the corner looking in, too. And her baby sister is on the floor in a little basket, sound asleep. I just want to say good night to this book, said Lala. And guess what book she's reading? You might have read it too yourself. She's quickly reading a book, and it's called, as the moon peeks in her window, Good Night, Moon, she says, and smiles. And then, finally, she lies down and goes to sleep. What do you do before bedtime? You try not to get into bed? Does your mom or dad read you a story? Do you fuss and fume about having to go to bed, or do you like to go to bed because you're tired at the end of a very long day and it might be time to sleep and your body knows it? Well, anyways, we've run out of time for today's episode of Children's Story of Read to Succeed. Excuse me. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.